Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey. How are you?
I'm good. Good, you know, just, holding all of the cosmos together. Same old, same old.
Right, right. Quite a big job you have there.
Yeah, well, you know. So, how are things with you? Good?
Yeah, things are good. Just busy. Mm. Been really busy.
Yeah. Stressed a little bit?
Yeah, I've just had this thing with work that's been so difficult. And just
yeah, that thing with Jen.
Right. How'd you know?
Sarah, I'm God, you know? The whole omniscience thing, I know everything.
Right. Well, then you must know that I've had this presentation coming up next week, which I'm totally unprepared for.
Mm-hmm.
I've been like freaking out about it all week. And
mm-hmm.
Actually, come to think of it, if there's any way you could step in and make me sound good, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. How about this? I promise I'll be right there with you the whole time. I won't leave your side.
Right, yes. That'd be great, Jesus. I want you there, no questions. It's just I'd feel a little better if I knew you were gonna make it go over well, you know? And I did give some money to that homeless guy yesterday.
You mean Jimmy?
Right, Jimmy. I did give some money to Jimmy.
Right. I'm glad that you did that, but I gotta tell you, if you're thinking that that's gonna buy you some sort of spiritual favors or something, that's really not how this works. You know, I want to be in relationship with you. I want to be close to you. I want to have intimacy with you.
I know. I'm sorry. It's just, I can't see you. And to be honest, it's not that easy to be in a relationship with someone invisible. You know?
Yes, I know. But I think the more you try it, the more you spend time with me and talk to me and listen, the easier it gets.
Yeah, I know. It's just with work and everything. It's a lot.
I know your work is important, and I'm really glad you're doing what you're doing. But just know that nothing in this life is going to give you as much peace and joy and fulfillment as I am.
I hear you.
I love you, Sarah, and I'm proud of you, and I want what's best for you.
Thanks, Jesus.
So, what do you think? Can we talk more often?
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Cool. Love you, Sarah.
Love you too.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. How's everyone doing? Doing all right? My name is CJ. I'm the campus pastor of Bethany Church in Columbia. And if you don't know me, here's a little introduction. I'm married to Katie, my wife. She's sitting right here. You'll see her when we go out. But I sat in one of those red pews like you're sitting in for a number of years. And before I was even married with my wife and sat under Pastor Kip's preaching, and it's just a privilege to be able to stand here, and I consider this his spot, and just to be able to fill in for him today. And I'm just glad to be here, and I'm excited. And we're going to talk about something pretty cool today. We're going to talk about goals. And how many of you have been watching the Olympics? Anybody? Yeah. So if you look at the Olympics, like who's the best Olympic athlete? Michael Phelps, right? Like, that's like, everybody agrees. And I watched him get his 23rd gold medal last night. So if you did, maybe you're tired like me, stayed up a little late. But Olympic athletes know a lot about goals. They know how to set their goals. They know how to achieve their goals. And even, like, if you watch swimming, you see Olympic athletes that get fifth place, but it's their personal best. And see, they just exceeded one of their goals, and they're celebrating. That's not like what we watched. I watched Brazil's women play soccer, and they played against Australia, and it went into like double overtime, penalty kicks, and those girls were just, the Australia lost, they were just weeping. I mean, they were so, but then I watched swimming and they get fifth place and they're like celebrating, and I don't understand. But you don't celebrate a loss. It's not how it works. But there's all types of goals. All types of goals, and it's really big in our society. So if you're familiar with social media, there's this thing. It's the pound sign or the number sign, but it's called hashtag. Okay, so if you don't know, that's the symbol, the little number symbol. And it's called hashtag goals. And if you go on Facebook, when I did this, there was over 1 million posts with this tag. And one of them, I'll give you some examples. It was a picture of Beyonce and her mother, and it said hashtag mother and daughter goals. And another one was a picture of a guy with the shirt off and his abs, and it was like hashtag body goals. And another one was an old couple holding hands. It said hashtag relationship goals. And a picture of a beautiful resort, and it said hashtag vacation goals. And all kinds of other things. You can just imagine what yours would be if you knew about this. And maybe you'll go home and you'll hashtag some goals. But in my life, I'm big on goals. Like, I'm super competitive. I can make a goal out of anything. I played basketball in high school, and here's one big goal I had. In 10th grade, my goal was to be able to dunk a basketball. Okay, so I achieved that goal. Not the way that I can dunk today, but I could throw the basketball up. It would bounce once. I could run, and because you can jump higher without holding the ball, so I could run, jump the ball, and I could dunk it with one hand. So that's what I was able to do in 10th grade. But then I wanted to be able to dunk better than that, so then I was able to run and jump with the ball and dunk it. And then now, and I'm older, but I can still do it. I can stand under the hoop and just jump and dunk it. And see, when you have these types of goals, you do stuff to achieve them. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, like, I had to work super hard to get that. That's just a little goal with a sport. But we're going to talk about goals as Christians, because I think God wired us to want to achieve goals. God made us this way, especially men, like definitely where we like to achieve goals. But we're going to talk about what our number one goal should be. And I'm going to call this sermon titled Goal Numero Uno, number one goal, and what should be the number one goal of our lives. And I get it from Philippians 3:7-14. So if you would, please turn there. And while you do, let me tell you a little bit about the letter. Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi in the first century. And the Apostle Paul, if you're not familiar with him, he's what today we would call a terrorist. The Apostle Paul was killing Christians, dragging them out of their houses, and just doing what terrorists do. But then he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, and he changed his life. And the Apostle Paul is someone who knew something about having changed goals. His goal used to be to persecute Christians, to stop people from following Jesus, and then he became the leader of the advance of the gospel throughout the whole world. So he saw his goals change drastically, and maybe in your life you've seen your goals change drastically, and if not, I hope today will motivate you to want to see that. But if you would, let's read it. Follow along with me, beginning in verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. We're going to stop there and pray. We'll read the last three verses later in the sermon. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for giving it to us, for us to be able to dig into it and to learn and to be changed. Father, I pray right now that I would decrease and that you would increase, Father, and that your word would be the most important thing here, Father, and that we would not leave here the same way we came. Change us, Father. Help us not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. You are an awesome God. We give ourselves to you. Have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Here's what I do when I preach. I give a main idea. And the main idea is if you have to get up and leave, you at least know what the sermon's about. You don't know what I talked about, but you know the concept. So here's the main idea for today. It's this: knowing Jesus should be the number one goal of our lives. And I do fill in the blanks, okay? So because I know people have a hard time taking notes because I talk really fast. So in your sermon notes, in your bulletin, you'll see words with fill in the blanks. And everything that's in yellow is a fill-in-the-blank word. So if you want to keep up, if you want to take these notes so that you can remember, I encourage you to fill in that blank, and we'll do that for next steps. We'll do that for everything so that you can just at least have like an outline of what we talked about to help maybe jog your memory when you look back. So I encourage you to do that. But we have a mission statement. Dennis read it when he came up for the welcome, and it's come together, know Jesus, make him known. And see, that second part is know Jesus, and we haven't talked about it that much, but that's what I want to do today. We know Jesus could mean different things to different people. So I want to look at what the Bible says it means, and let's take that as our definition. But before we do that, let's look at what Jesus said, which is in the Bible, John 17:3. You don't have to turn there. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." Jesus says it's eternal life to know him. Then Jeremiah 9:23-24, it'll be on the screen, says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." So we boast not in our accomplishments, not in our gold medals or lack of, not in anything, but we boast that we know Jesus, is what the prophet Jeremiah says. But at the most basic level, what it means to know Jesus is that you've placed your faith in him, that you've surrendered your life to him, that you have believed the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to earth, he lived the perfect life that you could never live, and that he died on the cross, and 3 days later he rose from the grave, and you've said, that is what I'm placing my faith in for my eternal life. And that's the most basic level. But I believe that if we want to make knowing Jesus our goal, like the Apostle Paul did, then it's something that a Christian of one day or 5 days or 5 years or 50 years all can set as a daily goal in your life. So let's talk about that. But before, I'm going to really unpack what Paul says about what it means to know Jesus, what he says it means. But I want to whet your appetite for what it is. So the first point is knowing Jesus is more valuable than everything else. Knowing Jesus is more valuable than everything else. And I get this from the first two verses we read. But before those verses, the Apostle Paul says, if anyone could boast in how good they were as a Jew, it would have been him. See, he was persecuting Christians because he thought that's what he's supposed to do, because they thought Jesus was like a blasphemer. He was someone that was doing things that were going against God, and he was doing all these things, and he was like, if anyone could boast in their accomplishments, it would have been me. But then look at what he says. He says he counts his gains as loss. See, Paul didn't just have goals, he met his goals, and we call those met goals gains, like Michael Phelps got lots of gains. Lots of gold medals and some silvers, which I would be happy with, but he probably isn't. He says none of these gains were as satisfying as knowing Jesus. He says he counts everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. And count is a measuring word. I used to be an accountant. That was what I got my degree in college, and I did that for about a year. So it's all about numbers, and people nicknames like bean counters, and like we don't do that. We actually use computers. But I wanna use this illustration. This is a scale. This is a scale that was at the end of the hallway when I was a kid. It's at my parents' house now, but I just remember using it and like weighing stuff and thinking it was cool to see how different things you could put one thing on and two different things. They look different, but they might weigh the same. And I just used to play with it. But we're going to use this to illustrate what matters most to us. And see, here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying that for him, knowing Jesus is like this big rock. See, imagine if this scale was huge, this would be a boulder. But this is as big of a rock that this scale can handle. See, look, watch, when we put this rock in here, it goes all the way down. I mean, this is a big deal. And then we have all these little rocks, and this is an illustration of what Paul's mind was thinking. So Paul, he knowing Jesus was on this side of the scale, it's tilted like super far. But he also might have had fitness goals, right? So his fitness goals would have been like a little rock, and maybe he had some ab goals and some relationship goals and some money goals and a retirement goal and all these other types of goals. Just whatever it is, and his scale didn't even move. His scale didn't even move. It says that he counted them as rubbish. But here's my problem. This is not what my scale looks like very often. See, we're gonna take these out. See, Paul had his goals in the right priority. He had a bunch of goals, but they would have been these little small rocks. But see, in my life, I have lots of goals, right? And so, like right now here, like the kind of the biggest goal that I have is Katie and I are getting ready to foster to adopt an 8-year-old boy. I mean, it could happen this week, it might happen next week, but they promised it'll happen before school starts. But it's like a really big deal in our life. It's like consuming us, kind of. And so it's a big goal. So I'm gonna put that there. That's adoption. Okay, and then I'm gonna have the goal of being a good husband. Okay, I wanna be a really good husband, and that takes some effort, guys. It takes some effort. It doesn't just happen. So put that there, and then I have some goals. Like I still play basketball on Saturdays, and like I want to be good. I don't like to lose, so I have to go to the gym, and I have to practice my 3-pointers because I want to be like Steph Curry. So that goes in there, and I have other goals. We're remodeling our basement. We're almost done, but like we have to go home and stain our steps. And so like that's a goal. And then I have like my fitness goals is this little thing, right? Because I just care about basketball. I don't care about fitness. And then like body goals, I don't really care. And then like all this stuff. And I got other little goals that just crop up. So when you put all these, look, my scale just tilted. My scale just tilted. And that's how I wake up most days. I don't know about you, but most days I wake up and this is what my mind is consumed with. And Jesus is like, he's not like the first thing that I want to do. But Paul says he counted everything as rubbish. He counted his gains as loss and treated them as rubbish. And rubbish is not a word we use. Maybe you do, I don't. But I went to buy trash bags at the store, and it said this: put your rubbish where it belongs. And I was like, I mean, I was preparing the sermon. It was pretty cool. It was like a God moment. And so pretty cool. But that's how you can define rubbish. Rubbish is trash. It could be defined as excrement, garbage, kitchen scraps. But it's, what do you do with the trash? Okay, you throw it away, and then you hope that the guy comes and he takes it to the landfill, and it's out of your life, right? So here's what Paul would have to say about some of my goals, okay? He wouldn't tell me, here's what he wouldn't say. He wouldn't say, stop trying to love your wife. He might say that you need to make loving your wife this type of goal in your mind. You might still do the same things, but don't let it consume you. But instead of it consuming you like this big rock, let's make it a little bit smaller. You still do the same effort, but focus more on me. Right? So he might do that. So I might have to count it as rubbish. I might have to toss it out like the trash. And let's say I have my 3-pointer goal. Maybe I decide to go to the gym for an hour today to practice my 3-pointers, and all I do is play pickup basketball. That can go, right? Or maybe I like to play video games for way too long, and I count that out. And maybe I have to watch every one of Michael Phelps' trial runs. Maybe I need to count that off. And maybe there's just some other stuff that just really aren't that important, and I can just need to throw them out like rubbish. You know, if you're here and you're like, you're telling me that knowing Jesus is supposed to matter more than my money goals? Well, I would submit to you that that's exactly what the Apostle Paul would have said before he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. And he might have struggled with that. We don't know. But he might have struggled with making the things that he was dealing with in life, the things that we all deal with, the things that we all strive, that we want, he might have had that balance, but he says he casted them off. And you notice when we get some of the goals back in their right size, and we get rid of some that maybe are too many, our scale gets tilted back towards Jesus and we're back in order. The goal of our mind is not to have our scale balanced, okay? You don't want the scale to look like this where Jesus is equal. We want Jesus to be greater. I want to be clear. Paul isn't saying that you shouldn't have goals. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have goals. You should have goals. You should have goals that are in the will of God, that you seek God out and you're like, here's what my goal is. It's good to take care of your body. I was joking about my fitness goals being that small. I mean, it's good to take care of your body. It's good to eat healthy, all those things. It's good to be able to lift stuff and to all those things are good. But in comparison to knowing Jesus, they're rubbish. Jim Elliot famously said, he is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. You see, everything on this side of the scale is temporary. Even marriage. Marriage is temporary in the sense that it's till death do us part. There is no marriage in heaven, Jesus told us. And everything else is also temporary. Jesus is eternal. So if we make Jesus our number one goal, that's something that's last forever. But if we make these other things our goals, they don't. And then here's the other thing. When you make your goals, like, so I have like home improvement goals, right? We're like remodeling our basement, like I said, and like we're almost done. And it's like, it's cool that we're done, but like it seemed like it was going to be a lot like greater as we were working. But when you're done, it's like, oh, it's done, right? It's not that satisfying. But Jesus is always satisfying. Even when you don't have, even when you can't meet any goal by the world standards, Jesus is satisfying. So here's a question. What does your scale look like right now? What does your scale look like right now? This is a question I have to ask myself every day. I mean, what are my priorities? What are my goals, and how am I striving to reach these goals? Am I striving the same? Am I striving Jesus more, or what is it? And I have to just evaluate that every day, especially when I have my quiet time. But I want to talk about what Paul says it means to know Jesus. He gives us three things in verses 9 and 10. And we're not going to read it because it just we'll be here forever. But I will summarize it, and I'll use the words so you know where I'm coming from. The first one he says is knowing Jesus means that you know that you have Christ's righteousness. This is the most basic level. It means that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, that you've surrendered your life to him, and that he's in charge, and that you know that if you died, you would go to heaven. That makes sense? That's something that we can know. It's also something that Satan tries to get in our heads and make us doubt that. And that's just something that we have to struggle with. But to know Jesus means that you know that you'll be with him forever. And the second one is my favorite. It's knowing the power of his resurrection. You know, we sing a song. You guys probably sing it. We sing it in Columbia. I think I used to sing it when I was here. It says, same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. That is what Paul is talking about. The power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. And that power, the source, is the Holy Spirit in us. And see, when we want to experience that power, it's probably when we're doing something that takes us out of our comfort zone, something that God wants to do in us that maybe we're not even comfortable with. But as we take those steps, we see that power through us, see God's power. Third thing is becoming more like him by sharing in his suffering. And Paul is by no means saying that he likes to suffer. Nobody likes to suffer. There's like a thing, there's like a term for people that like to do that, but that's not what Paul's talking about. And we don't like to talk about this, but the truth is sometimes the only thing that gets us out of a spiritual rut is a tragedy happens, and that's what God uses to grow us. In my life, when things are harder is when I actually experience these like growth spurts in my relationship with God. So Paul says these are the three things that it means that he knew Jesus. But the second point I want to make is that knowing Jesus is more than knowing about Jesus. It requires a relationship. You know, I can I can go to you, I can go out in the parking lot with you after church and look at your car, and I can know all about your car, okay? And I could look at your car, maybe if I know your car, like if I know that type of car, I could know what engine's in it and miles per gallon, all that stuff. But if not, I can Google it, right? And I can figure it out. I can know your car gets 27 miles to the gallon, it's turbocharged, it has 17 cup holders, it's a minivan, and like I can know all those things about your car. Or I can know about your house. I can go online, maybe your house sold 3 years ago, I can go online and read the report. I can do a walkthrough. Like I can know all about some stuff that you have. But if I want to know you, I can't just Google you. Even if you were famous and you're on Wikipedia, I can't just know you because I know about your Wikipedia page. Because, see, here's the thing. J.I. Packer says that you can know an animal in the matter of a few days, but to know a person takes a lifetime. See, the reason is people don't always reveal who, like, everything about them. Right? People, they might think if they reveal this, you're not going to like them. Or people hide. People change. People are strange. Animals are like, oh, this dog bites people and this dog bites people, you know? And you can know that. You could train them, but either way. Think about knowing someone that's prestigious, that you consider to be prestigious, okay? And maybe, I'll go with president. Just take, you can think of a past president if you want. I don't care. But think of a president that you'd be excited to meet, okay? And they walk in, and you probably would not in this room say, I know the president. But you might say, I met the president. And if you met the president would say something like, hello, what's your name? And you would say, hello, Mr. President, I'm such and such, right? And you'd be happy with that, right? But then here's what you'd do. I tell you what you'd do. You take a picture, you get your friend to take a picture, you post it on Facebook, and you tell a bunch of people. Don't you think? That's just the president. And you don't even know him. You just met him. But we have the opportunity to know Jesus. And if we know Jesus, we actually get to talk to him. It's, the Bible says that he also knows us, everything about us. I thought that was interesting in the video. She's like, da-da-da-da-da, and he's like, yeah, I know that. And she's like, he said the name, and she's like, how did you know that? And he's like, I'm God, you know? And we can know Jesus. And if we know Jesus, I think we would talk about him. Talk about our meetings with him. But here's the problem in our American society. We get so busy that we don't even make time to meet with him in a thing we call a quiet time, which is like 15 minutes a day, maybe, where you read your Bible and you pray and you just spend that time with God. See, when my scale gets tilted the wrong direction, that's what's happening, okay? I have like a home improvement project and I decide instead of waking up and doing my quiet time first, I'm going to sleep in and I'm going to start right on my project, right? And I will do my quiet time later, or I'll skip it to the next day. And that never works. It never works. It's like I got the project done, but I just like put God in second place. And that's not what God wants. And that's not because he's like, I gotta have the first part of your day. It's because he wants to love on you. He wants to remind you of these things. He wants you to know his will instead of your will. I wanna give you some encouragement, okay? When I played basketball, there's just a time in like 11th grade where I got some encouragement, and I'm gonna show you how I got this encouragement. Here's this basketball. Maybe you can read it. It says, "To CJ, stick with it," and it's signed by number 32 for the Lakers. Anybody know who that is? Magic Johnson, okay? And this is a big deal for me to get this basketball. And I got that, and I was like, man, this guy, he's been where I want to be, right? I wanted to be the best basketball player I could be, and he says, stick with it. He says, stick with it. Well, what we're going to see in verses 12 to 14 that we didn't read yet is the Apostle Paul saying to you, stick with it. I've been where you want to be. Stick with it. It's not going to be easy, but you got to persevere. Let's read it. It says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The last point for today is that knowing Jesus is a lifelong adventure. It doesn't happen overnight. You know Jesus in the fact that you know that you're born again, but it's the facts of knowing his power and knowing his suffering, knowing him through that. Those are things that take a lifetime, and we will be knowing more and more of who Jesus is till the day we die. This picture here is one that is helpful if you've been watching the Olympics. You know, the track and field stuff started, I think, yesterday or the day before they started the trials. And those people, I mean, like the 100-meter dash is crazy fast. I mean, crazy fast. And here's what you know from a runner. This is what Paul is saying. When you run, you don't look over your shoulder. You look towards the prize, and you strive towards it. If you look over your shoulder, you're not going to get there in time. Right, you might miss it. You're looking over your shoulder. You're thinking about, like, Usain Bolt, okay? Fast guy, right? If Usain Bolt is running, and he's like, and just think about metaphorically looking over your shoulder. Man, I won gold last time. If he's thinking about that and while he's running, instead of thinking about winning it this time, he's going to get beat, probably by an American, you know? He's teaching us that faith is not just a past decision, but it's something that we have to practice each and every day. It says, forget what's behind you, strain forward to what's ahead. This race picture is good. It starts when you receive Jesus, but it doesn't end. As long as you're on this earth, this race doesn't end. And he is speaking to all of us here. He's speaking to maybe someone who's a perfectionist, who's been just thinking they're doing everything God wants them to do, and like, I'm retired now, and I'm going to sit on the sidelines. He's speaking to that person. He's saying, forget what you did in the past and keep running. He's speaking to the person that thinks, well, you tell me that I accepted Jesus and that I'm going to go to heaven, so why would I even run this race? He says, there's no room for people sitting out of this race that God wants you to have. You know, a good runner knows how long their race is. You know, if your race is 100 meters and you run 90, you don't win. Even if you were the fastest in the first 90, you don't win. That's not what you do in a run, and that's not what God wants us to do in life. He doesn't want us to coast to the finish line. He doesn't want us to work hard for 2 years and then say, I'm going to take the rest off because I worked really hard. He wants us to be in his will the whole time. So maybe today you've gotten off track. Maybe you're sitting on the sidelines of this race and maybe you need some encouragement. Verses 12 to 14 is your encouragement. It's to fill in your blank, your name, stick with it. Signed by the Apostle Paul, signed by Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you some next steps. So if you would, get out your Connect with Us cards. I'm going to give you 3 next steps, and you can fill in the blanks on your sermon notes and on your Connect with Us card. Check it off so that the prayer team can know that you're taking those steps. The first one is confess that your goals have become more valuable to you than Jesus. And like I said, this is something that I struggle with, that I have to do on like a daily basis. Now, I don't know about you guys. Maybe you don't have to do it as often, but like my goals get all out of whack. And it's not that I'm doing the wrong things most of the time, but it's that I'm making the wrong things the most important things in my life. And they just need to be a little bit lower in their priority so that when God wants me to do something, I do it, as opposed to saying I'm too busy and all those types of things. You know, if you're wondering, hey, is this where I'm at? Remember I said, do you talk about Jesus? You see, if I play basketball on a Saturday morning and I dunk on somebody, oh, you bet, I'll tell you. It'll make my sermon. It'll make face. I will tell you. But see, when Jesus does something amazing, do I talk about it? Do I talk about it? Do I even recognize it? You know, because Jesus is doing stuff all the time in our lives, and sometimes we just glance over. We take it for granted. What we're doing is confessing to God that these things have become like idols to us, you know? And it's like I don't assume that any of you in here are long-term idol worshipers, but sometimes for a day or for a moment, for a half a day, we start to act like idol worshipers, and we start to make these things the most important thing in our life. And we're just confessing and say, God, like I really, really, really want to get this home improvement project done. I really, really, really want whatever it is. I really, really, really want to win this game. But help me to treasure you more than I want those things. Amen. Second step is this. Ask God to help you desire more of Jesus. This is something that of prayer that I learned from Pastor Kip a long time ago. And I prayed that prayer. And this is a prayer that I prayed soon before I started serving in the youth ministry with Dennis. And just it was really cool how God opened those doors. But remember the scale? When I prayed that prayer, we have to be ready for God to answer it. And see, what I started out with Dennis in the youth ministry was called Serious Bible Study at 6 o'clock. And see, here's what I had to give up. At that time in my life, I watched every NASCAR race every week all season. And I didn't have a DVR because I didn't want to pay for it. So I literally had to give it up. I couldn't watch it later. I had to give it up. I could watch the highlights the next day. That was okay. But what happened is I started to view NASCAR as rubbish, as many of you already do. But the, I can't sit through it now. But I mean, I was hooked. I was like listening to the pit crew and like, man, this guy had the fastest pit stop and all that stuff. And just, that's just something that God changed in my life. And, but then here's something I had to give up that maybe you were like, what? The NFL. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. I mean, seriously, that's a big deal. Especially, I'm a Cowboys fan. The Cowboys play, if the Cowboys play the late game and you miss the end of the game. Look, if Serious Bible Study starts at 6 o'clock, the game ends at 7. So you miss the end of the game. It's a big deal. But see, that's something where you have to be willing to give up something that really matters to you, right? For what God wants. And when you're doing what God wants, you actually are more, you get more enjoyment than you would if you did what you wanted. Yep. Last one. Take a risk for Jesus this week by talking about what he's done in your life. I use the word risk on purpose because I don't assume that you live in some safe place where you work with a bunch of Christians where they're just like, oh, I'm so happy to hear about Jesus. Like, I assume that when you talk about Jesus, they're like, you're weird, right? So that's why I say take a risk, and I really mean that. I really mean you're taking a risk, so I give you credit for that. Take that risk. But listen, you don't have to talk about what Jesus did in your life 15 years ago. You can talk about what he's doing in your life today, this week. And that means you got to be looking for it. That means you got to be spending time with him, right? And if as you do that, you see God working in your life and you share that with people. See, people want to know that our God is real and alive and not that he just existed in 2,000 years ago and that's it. But they want to know how he's impacting your life today. That's what makes a difference in people's lives. I want to just, and something I do sometimes is, just imagine with me, like if we all did this. Imagine if all of us, so you guys are Bethany Church in Ellicott City, I'm over at Bethany Church in Columbia most weeks, but imagine if all of Bethany Church combined did this, started to view Jesus as the most valuable thing in their lives, started to prioritize him and go at it, to strive to win the race. See, I think some things would happen. We would see our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends come to know Jesus Christ. I think we would see things in the church, like Dennis talked about the helping the flood victims. We would see those things filled. We would see people volunteering for those so that our church could be a light in the community. And I think we would see a joyful people. People that would just know that God loves them and that he wants to use them as they experience his power. So it's my hope that you'll take these next steps, that you'll take your notes, look over them again, but make that your goal. And listen, I'm telling you, you make that today, you make that your promise today, on Tuesday it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle. So when you wake up in the morning or you do your quiet time at night, whatever you do, remember this. And say, God, where are my goals at? Where are they at? And then get them back. Get your scale back tilted at that time. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to just look at your word, Father. In areas of our lives that are near and dear to our hearts, God, we have so many things that we like, Father, and God, I pray that we would love you. Father, help us to love you, God, because we know that you love us. Father, I pray for every person that's in this place right now, Father, that you would just use them. Use them for your glory, Father. Use them to make you famous. You are an awesome God. We give ourselves to you, God. Be with us this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the musicians come, I just want to open up the invitation. If you just need to pray with me or with a deacon, or if you just want to pray at the stage or in your seat, I want you to do that. If you are like, man, I don't know Jesus at all, but I want to. What you're talking about is something that I want to know more about. I encourage you to come forward and just share that with me, and I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to have coffee with you and just talk about it more this week. But I just encourage you to respond as God's leading you. You can stand as we are getting ready to sing. But listen, don't let this moment pass you by. If God is working on you right now and giving you a desire to do anything, whether that's make a commitment to him, whether that's to just pray at the, just don't let that pass you by, because that's a gift. That's a gift that God's given you. You might not want that next Sunday. You're like, I'll wait for Pastor Kip. Well, when Pastor Kip's back, you might not want to do that. But you might be wanting to do that now. So I encourage you just to respond as God's leading you.